Let's go to Genesis 3:15. We're talking about voices. You know, we hear all kinds of voices. You know, you drive down the road and see billboards. There's a voice there. You listen to your radio. You listen to the TV. There are voices. There are a lot of voices that are vying for our attention, trying to get control of our minds, right? Just think about it. I mean, it's everywhere. It's more so today than it's ever been before. I'm absolutely amazed at how many voices are out there today that are really trying to get our attention. And we're talking about some of those voices over the next few weeks. And actually, when we get into Christmas season, Kathy will be sharing that with you. Our theme for Christmas this year is the voice of Christmas. So we want to talk about that and really see where God's going to take us in that. You know, when we gather, you know, we get ready to really be blessed, right? We come together to be blessed. So you came today. You didn't just show up here. You came because you were looking for a church or you already attend here and you want to be a part of a church that really believes the Word of God, that stands on the Word of God. That's who we are. You know, we want you to get ready for the overflow that God's got for your life. How many believe that God's got an overflow for you? Pastor Bobby and Pastor Ori are going to lead our communion here in just a little bit. And we are excited about what God's going to speak to you today. So let's look at Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That is a prophetic word from the Old Testament book of Genesis that talks about Jesus Christ and what he's going to accomplish at the cross. And we see that throughout Scripture. We see prophecies that work all the way through the Pentateuch or the first five books of the Bible and roll all the way through. And, you know, there are lots of biblical interpretation guidelines that have been given to us through the years about what you see. But the law of first mention, like seed, time, and harvest, you know, that all starts in Genesis. You know, the prophetic words about the coming Messiah are all the way back in the book of Genesis, thousands of years before Jesus came. 1,600 years the Bible was written, 40 different writers, 66 different books in the Bible. So that's a beautiful piece. People say all the time, they say, well, why didn't some of these books make it into the Bible? Like there are some books that are in the Catholic Bibles that are not in our canon of Scripture. And it's because the people who actually put them together did not feel like that they were inspirational enough or anointed enough to actually become a part of canon of Scripture, which means that they were probably great historical books, contemporaries. You know, they're contemporaries of people who were writers in the Scripture, but they just didn't make it into the canon of Scripture is what we see today. Not that we are frustrated with people who believe in 1st and 2nd Maccabee, but, you know, we love all people. And so whether Catholic or Protestant or whatever they are, we just kind of move in a direction of leading people to where Jesus can come into your heart and live in your life. Like the song says, what did it say? Greater is he that is in me, that is in. Well, great set today, Chris. Thank you. So we can't just learn to live with the devil and his intrusions, right? We've got to learn how to take authority over the enemy like we have for the last many years of our life. And we learn to develop what I call a barrier-breaking spirit, a spirit that actually, you know, learns to control the enemy's ways. And God said that he would send a seed, and that's what we read there in 3:15, and that this seed would crush the enemy. Come on, give me a little help this morning, that he would crush the enemy. And so the Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So how many believe that he's done that? Well, you look out in our world today and you go, no, it hadn't happened yet. No, it has happened. We just have to walk in the finality of what he's already accomplished. Because on the cross, what did he say? He said, it is finished. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Jesus said, it is finished. So God's breakthrough didn't happen in one miracle moment. It's a progressive thing that goes on and on in our lives and in the lives from one century to the next century. So the breaker was the Messiah. I want you to look at Micah chapter 2, verse 13, because we see there's a word that's coming here. And the seed begins to speak, and the seed is Jesus Christ and his word. Micah 2:13. The breaker, the Messiah, who opens the way, shall go up before them, liberating them. This is in the Amplified Bible. And they will break out, pass through the gate, and go out so their king goes on before them. Let's read that again. The breaker, a breaker, the Messiah who opens the way shall go up before them, liberating them. So Jesus goes before us to liberate, right? And then they will break out, pass through the gate, and go out so their king goes on before them. The Lord at their, is that the end of it? At their, am I getting all of it up here? I'm sorry, at their, the Lord at their head. The Lord at their head. How many glad that He's at the head? Well, you know, last week we went to Psalm 16, I believe. Let's go to Psalm 16, verse 8. And I want you to see this because here's why this is important. Because what we do is we learn how to position Jesus in our life, you know, and this is the way we do it. Look at verse 8. It says, I've set the Lord always before me. Say that with me. I've set the Lord always before me. Is that a good place to put Him? And that way He leads. We follow and He leads. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So my job as a believer and as a Christian and as a follower of Christ is to set the Lord always before me. We read a billboard on the way home yesterday that said, this guy's business, John's Plumbing or something like that. And on the billboard said, we repair what your husband fixed. She knows who that is. She knows that guy. He's been to our house many times over the years. But the Lord is always before us leading the way because He knows how to fix things. He knows how to repair. He knows how to restore. So that's where we want to keep Jesus in our life. So the seed spoke in the Old Testament, spoke in the beginning, right, in the book of Genesis. The seed also spoke through the prophets all the way through the Old Testament. The seed also speaks through Jesus. And here it is right here. The seed speaks through the blood. We're going to acknowledge that and actually become a part of that in just a few minutes because we believe that there's power in the blood. We believe that there's power in the cup. So the Bible tells us that the God of peace has crushed Satan beneath our feet in Romans 16:20. One of my favorite scriptures. You know, when I think about the enemy trying to come in and stifle me and destroy me and actually pounce on me, the thing that I want to do is I want to make sure that I understand how that I'm in a place to carry out that decree, right? I want to be in a place where I understand that and where I obey that. In Luke 10:19, these are scriptures that we learned early on in our Christian walk. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now listen, I know that there's a lot of hurt in our world today. Most of you go through hurt on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis, just like we do. We go through hurts. Talking to Bob this morning, they had a tough week with some passing of some relatives, and many of you have lost loved ones. You've lost people. You've gone through some infirmity and illness and sicknesses, and yeah, there's been lots of hurt. Maybe you were hurt by an employer. Maybe you were hurt by somebody that you thought loved you and walked away from you. Somebody walked out. And what happens if you don't actually take that to the Lord, what happens is that you will come to a place to where you will become a wounded person who is hurting others. Which is kind of where America winds up from time to time. Then God has to bring a revival and an awakening. But what you find is that, you know, people tend to live in guilt, which induces fear, or is induced by, guilt is induced by fear. And then guilt can turn into anger or hatred or jealousy. And I'll show you all four of those because all of those are enemies of the heart. All of those things work on the heart to destroy your walk with God or to destroy who God created you to be. How many of you know that God created us to be really special? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So God has made us to be new creations. So there's a biblical progression here, and this is the way it works. We are living in new creation realities. We don't live in the old reality of when you were not born again. Because when you were born again, you began to move into new creation realities. You moved into a life of faith. You moved into a life of restoration. You moved into a life of understanding who you were in Jesus Christ. And you are operating in new creation realities. The old realities don't mean anything anymore. So if somebody hurts you back there, please do not bring all of that into your new reality with God. Because what the anointing will do is the anointing will break that off of you. And you may have people coming to you every day and saying, well, this is the way you... People will always shove you into a personality shell. Try to make you what you're not. Don't let them do that. Can you say amen? Is that right, Lucille? We don't let people do that to us. We put on the face of Jesus Christ. We put on our faith. We walk in a faith-filled way every single day. We believe the Word of God. Now, the first point I want you to see is that there is a seed that brings breakthrough. There's a breakthrough seed. Everybody say that with me. There's a breakthrough seed. Now, that seed is not about need. It's not about greed. It's not about any of these things. It's not about us getting our needs met. But that seed comes into our life for a purpose. And it brings us, and this is where I want you to get to today. I want you to really think about this. That seed comes into your life to bring you into a place of overflow, where you begin to operate out of the overflow. Where you begin to operate out of God's flow that's come into your life. And it's an overflow. And when you begin to operate out of the overflow, through the breakthrough seed coming into your life of Jesus Christ, what happens is that becomes a powerful testimony of who God really is. Now, here's where we're going today. We're going to the table today, but I want you to see this. The Bible says that we overcome by the words of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. So how do we become overcomers? We overcome by the words of our testimony. And also by the blood of the Lamb. That's how we move into an overcoming place in our life. Our seed is of the incorruptible seed of Jesus Christ. However, the devil tries to sow other weeds and seeds into your life. He wants to come and wipe you out. Plant all this stuff in your life. Now, the four things that I see in working with people for the last 35 to 40 years of my life, the things that I see that become the enemies of the heart are guilt, greed, jealousy, and anger. Guilt, greed, jealousy, and anger. They're derivatives of all of those that flow into other directions, but pretty much the enemies of your heart are going to be guilt, greed, jealousy, and anger. Guilt says, I owe you. I owe you. Anger says, you owe me. Greed says, I owe me. Right? Greed says, I owe me. And jealousy says, God owes me. I didn't get what I was supposed to get. So God owes me. So if you're sitting here today and you got a need in your life, you're looking for something for your life, the first place that you're going to have to come to is this right here. You're clean through the word that has been spoken to you. So when you allow people to take you into anger, into jealousy, into envy, into greed, and all of these different things in your life, you've got to realize how powerful that the blood really is and how Jesus came and shed His blood for you so that you didn't have to operate in those deadly negative emotions. Aren't you glad you're not living there today? Aren't you glad that you're not in that place and you don't have to live there anymore, that God has delivered you out of that? Now, you cannot kill the incorruptible seed because it carries the power of redemption in it. It carries the power of reproduction in it. It carries the power of resurrection in it. That's the incorruptible seed of Jesus Christ. It carries all of these things in the seed. The Bible says if that same Spirit, here it is, if that same Spirit that dwells in me, quote it to me, I've all of a sudden forgot it. If that same Spirit that dwells in me. Exactly. I hope you heard that. My mind just went blank. I'm sorry. If that same spirit that raises Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. I got there. All right. All right. Didn't have it written down. Okay. If that, I looked over here like I thought it was there, but it's not. It disappeared. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it will your body. Look at your body and say, body, you need to be quickened. We say things like, body, you need to eat quick. But it will quicken your mortal body, right? The second thing that God gives us is a breakthrough spirit. Not just a breakthrough seed, but a breakthrough spirit, right? God gives us a spirit that is able to produce breakthrough. God just doesn't give us faith. He gives us a spirit of faith. You know the difference between a person who's living in defeat and a person who's not living in defeat? The person who's living in defeat has not come to that place to where they understand the spirit of faith yet. They maybe have had some faith experiences, but they've not moved into that pervasive place in their life where the spirit of faith actually works in their life and begins to take over and leads them on a day-by-daily basis. And you begin to operate in that spirit of faith every day that you live. So the blood redeems, the blood reproduces, and the blood carries the power of resurrection. It's resurrection power. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, when we were growing up, we used terminology like my mother would plead the blood over me. And that scared me. Because I wasn't living right, you know. I wasn't going to church. I was living my own life, and she got into this stuff of pleading the blood over me. I heard her pray that over me all the time. And I tell you, I just didn't like it. I didn't like it. Anytime you started talking about blood, I didn't like it, you know, because I thought it was going to be my blood, you know. So I didn't like that. But here's the thing I want you to understand. How do I activate that blood? That's not something we have to be ashamed of, that we're pleading the blood over your house or pleading the blood over your family or whatever. There's nothing wrong with praying that way, because all we're doing is we're activating the blood of Jesus Christ to protect and to keep you safe in your life and your family and the other things that you need. And we've learned not to cross that bloodline, haven't we? So Revelation 12:11, I'm going to quote this again. We overcome by words of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the words of our testimony. Say it with me. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. So how do we activate the blood? We activate the blood by speaking the word. We activate the blood by speaking the word of God. If all you're talking about is you and your stuff, and your dreams, and your future, and your destiny, and you can't talk about the word, you can't begin to decree the word, speak the word into your life, there's probably going to be a time where you come to the end of all that, and you're not going to have the life that God really wants you to have. So we activate the blood when we speak the word. Our words must agree with what the blood says. Can you get me Genesis 4? And I'm not even sure where it's at. I wasn't going to go here, but I think I will go here. But y'all know the story of Abel and Cain, right? How that Cain killed his brother. I think let's do the final point today is the blood speaks. The blood speaks. Let's go to this story. Try to go to verse 10, I guess. See if that might land us there. Is that close? Verse 10? Okay, let's go there. Chapter 4 of Genesis, and he's talking to Cain here. Cain's already killed his brother, shed his blood of his brother in the field, got really jealous. He got angry with his brother. He began to live in a place of fear because he felt like his offering was not going to be received, which it wasn't, because he gave the wrong offering. He had to give the offering that God told him to give through his father. He didn't give that offering, but Abel apparently gave a good offering, the offering that God would receive. And we see that sometimes. We see people who get jealous of people who are followers of Christ. See that all around the country right now. People don't like believers because they're jealous of them. They're angry with them because they feel like that Christians and followers of Christ have got something that they don't have. And they're right. We do have something they don't have. But it doesn't mean that they can have it. And this is what we have to understand. You know, when we talk about the overflow in our life, the key reason that God brings overflow in life so that we can overflow it in the lives of other people. That's why it's not just about us getting all the blessing and everything we want, although that's a part of the kingdom. But the part that really stands out to me is that we learn how to receive the overflow so that we can bless other people with the overflow that's coming into our life. And this is what he says to Cain. He says, "What have you done? The voice," now here it is, get this, "the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Go to verse 11. Let's just move through this. "So now you're cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." Blood didn't just lay there on the ground. It was sucked into the earth. Earth sucked it up. Verse 12. "When you till the ground..." Man, this is so deep. You guys got to get this. "When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you." Man, where do I go from there? I know where to go, but I'm trying to get there. Okay? All right. "When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you." So what he's really saying is that the blood has lost its power for you because you took somebody else's blood. "A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." Now go to verse 13. "And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear." Verse 14. "Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And see, what's going on in the culture today, when you think about what's going on, because there's so much hatred and there's so much bloodshed in our culture today, is that if you persist in this arena of denying the grace of God and denying His forgiveness, and denying who God is, you will somehow move into this creature that all you can think about is hatred, violence, anger, rage. Listen, I'm telling you, for no other reason than that, you need to get saved. Because you don't need to be living in a place where hatred and anger and guilt and jealousy and envy and all of these things can take a hold of your life. That's what the blood does. The blood sets us free from that. Aren't you thankful for the blood? The body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me finish this up because we're close to getting ready to receive communion today. And I want you to be ready for that. So when my mama would say, "I plead the blood," and I would run, I came to the place where I realized at about 21... she wasn't begging or pleading, but what she was really doing is that she was activating what happened through the blood of Jesus at the cross. So my mama was an activator. And sometimes my father was the terminator. My mother was the activator. My father was the terminator. I didn't mess with my dad. His hands were like massive. He was a mechanic. He worked on John Deere's and combines and all that stuff, you know. And he'd just touch you, and you'd go into immediate pain somewhere. He grabbed me right there and literally put me on the floor. I couldn't even move. He would just destroy my legs. And he had this handshake. You've met those guys. Have this handshake where you shake hands with them, and your hand just disappears. You feel like every bone in your hand is broke when they get through shaking your hand. That's what my dad was. So my mother was an activator, and she taught me how to do that. And what we learned to do, go to 1 Peter 2:24 if you can. 1 Peter 2:24, and I'm going to be close to the end here. But we learn to say what the blood says. You guys got that? So when people talk to you and try to confuse you, and get you frustrated and get you upset about what you believe and all the things that we wind up doing in our lives where we think, well, these people, you know, they really know something. No, they don't know nothing. Because you don't know anything until you know God. And what you do is you learn more and you know more and then you release more. You learn more about God's Word, then you know more, and then you can release more power into other people's lives. You can operate out of that overflow. But in 1 Peter 2:24, I want you to look at this. It said, because all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. I believe that's wrong. Is that that's one. Give me two. Sorry, Adam, I didn't have Adam ready for this. Okay. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. I believe there's 30 or 40 people in this building today that need to be healed physically in your body. And before or in them, come, I want you to stand with me. If you need healing, you might stand right now. Come on. That you don't listen, whatever it is. If it's a migraine, stand up. If you've got a problem in your knees or in your back, you've got a problem with your rotator cuff, whatever it might be, maybe you've had surgery in this area. I believe that there's a place for you to be healed today, and I believe it's right here. So I plead the blood over you today. I believe that though the blood speaks, it's speaking healing to you right now. There's a voice of healing in the room. How many believe that? There's a voice of healing. So all of you people that are sitting around them, see who they are, know who they are around you. I want you to move toward, but look and see where they are before you move, because we don't want to miss anybody. Find out who the people are. Move toward them and lay hands on them right now. Do that right now. Find somebody around you. Some of you ain't even looked around yet. You're still looking forward, like somebody standing up here on this corner. They're not up here. They're out there. So go to those people and just lay your hand on their shoulder. Begin to pray for them right now. Begin to pray for them right now. Believe that healing's going to come. Plead the blood over their life. Believe that God is going to do a major healing work in their body today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that today is a day of healing. That today is a time of powerful reinforcement of the blood of Jesus Christ in our life today. God, we declare that everyone in the room today is healed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, God, we just confirm it right now. We decree it, Lord, according to 1 Peter 2:24, God, that by your stripes, Jesus, we are healed. By your stripes, Jesus, we are healed. And so, God, when we come for communion today in the Lord's Supper, God, we believe that there's healing through the blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that there's healing in that cup. We believe that there's healing in that bread today, God. We believe there's healing in the room today, God. And even as some of you lay hands on somebody else, you're sick in body, remember that you're healed too. Come on, receive that. As you lay hands on them, you're being healed right now. Come on, receive that. Lift your hand up right now. Begin to thank God because you're healed and they're healed right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Only believe right now and you'll be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare that today. Father, we believe that today, God. We stand upon your word today, God. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, we declare healing in this room today. In this room today. In this room today. In this room today. We declare healing, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, say it with me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
There's a place mercy reigns. Oh, there's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood. Flowing now. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. When your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. At at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. When love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus.
Wow. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your holy presence in the room. You are here today to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. You have nourished us with your word and washed us. You've sanctified us by your blood, and as we prepare to partake of one of the great ordinances that you gave the church, the most solemn of them all, Blessed Communion. We thank you for it now. If you would, my friends, here's how we want to do it. This center aisle, as many of you as can, I'd like for you to come forward, receive the elements, and go back to your seat, and we're going to all partake together. If there's anyone that has any particular difficulty, can you hear me good? Okay. If anyone has any particular difficulty, raise your hand. I know Julie is here. We can come to you. There you are, Tina. You're the one I was looking for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand? Understand what has been preached to us this day by the Spirit of the Lord pouring in and out of our pastor. There's healing and deliverance as you walk this aisle and partake of these elements. Amen. Amen. Please come forward.
You can go both ways.
It was the perfect sacrifice. Jesus so freely gave his life because of the blood. I can't enter in. It was the perfect sacrifice. Jesus so freely gave his life.
If you're sitting on that side, you can go that way.
I can't enter in. Because of the blood, I can come boldly. Because of the can enter in because of the blood. I can come boldly because of the blood. I can enter in. It was the perfect sacrifice. Jesus so freely gave his life because of the blood. I can enter in. It was the perfect sacrifice. Jesus so freely gave his because of the blood, I can enter in. I can enter in. I can enter in.
Has everyone been served? On this solemn occasion, this morning has such an awesome presence of God in our midst. As an anointing in here like I haven't felt in a long time. I want everyone to partake, so everyone's been served. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bobby.
In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it's a scripture that we're all familiar with and I want to share. Pastor did an awesome, awesome word this morning that we don't need to let it just bounce off ourselves, off our ears. We need to let that sink in. And I do believe in agreement that there are people here that need a healing, a miracle, and it's going to happen. Not because of what really you're about to do, but you're celebrating healing. You're celebrating the healer. Scripture says, but he was wounded. Version says, pierced for our transgression, bruised, crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon him. And listen to this, by his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. And to follow up with that scripture, I want you to take that little morsel in your between your fingers right here. Hold it up. Scripture says, in Matthew chapter 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave to his disciples. And he said, take and eat, for this is my body. I want you to take it. I want you to crush it between your fingers. And then take it. Now I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for the body, your body that was broken. And Lord, as we take this, we celebrate our healing. We celebrate our breakthrough. Lord, thank you for giving of yourself. Thank you for, Lord, not looking at what would feel like physically to yourself, but Lord, you passed that cup just to know that I needed that touch and I needed that breakthrough. Thank you for that. And we're here to celebrate as a family, corporately, what you went through for me, for everyone in this room. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, and in taking that into your body, would you agree with me and say amen?
This blessed cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Jesus even said, as often as we take this, we are to do it in remembrance of him. You'll be able to sing, "I know it was the blood." Take and drink. Thank you, Jesus. And we decree, in the name of Jesus, that by the power of the blood, you are cleansed, healed, and set free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this great day. This great day.
Amen. The great sacrament of the church. There are many others. You know, we got to perform a sacrament yesterday. The vows inside of a marriage ceremony are sacred. I mean, know that. The vows that you said to each other are sacred. That's a sacrament right there in the church. Marriage, that's the reason the enemy wants to twist it so bad. Because it's a sacrament. Lord's Supper, Eucharist, communion table, water baptism, holy unction or anointing. All these are sacraments of the church. We need to treat them as sacred. Don't ever take anything for granted that God has given you. So this table we do in remembrance of Jesus today. How many glad that we got to do that today? Well, let me tell you something. As Pastor has already said, there's healing in it today. So receive that healing today that God has given you. We're going to pray for Bobby and Amy. So if they would come up, we're going to do it on this side over here. Pastor Bobby and Amy. And any of you who would like to join us up here, if you can work into here somehow, you're welcome to join us. Don't forget, we're staying for life groups today. And we're going to have a great time here this afternoon. So if you would like to join us, any of you, we knew that Bobby and Amy had another call on their life other than just pastoring. They really felt like that God was leading them into something. And it came together. And we believe that God allowed us to have them for a short while. Aren't you glad that God gave them to us for a short while? And we believe that they'll be back in on occasion to assist us, or else they're going to hear from me if they don't. But anyway, you can say those things to relatives and get away with it, you know. So there it is. I just want you guys to know how much we love y'all and how much we appreciate y'all being here. And if you, before we pray, if you got anything you'd like to say?
I want to say thank you guys for opening up your arms to us, many not knowing us other than just visiting every now and then. Our plan was actually to come in and be right here with Pastor Warren and Aunt Kathy and help. And we're still going to do that, but we right now feel that the Lord is calling us to the highways and the byways. But this is our home church, and if we y'all are family, and I really appreciate that. You've been so kind to Amy and I and our boys. Thank you so much. Continue to pray for us, and we will be back, I promise you.
Is Robbie here? Did I see Robbie come in? Robbie, where you at, buddy? Well, you're here. That's Taylor. Where's Robbie? I thought I saw Robbie. Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. They've gone to get some pizza. So, well, you know, thanks again. We are so grateful. We're so thankful for your leadership on the platform and your worship heart. And Bobby, so thankful for your support, your ministry. And we are grateful for what they brought to us. I want you to just direct your hand this way. All you guys move in close to them. I don't want any of you to miss laying hands on them and praying for them that are up here right now. Move on in close by. Come on up, guys. Come on up, guys. I want everybody to stretch your hand out this way, and I want you to really pray that God will bless their ministry as they go out and as they move into this call, this call that they're qualified to do. Believe that God is going to guide them, the doors will be open, and that many, many hundreds of lives will be affected by their ministry. Can you do that? Begin to pray that. You know, the Lord gave us a word many years ago that we would be a sending church. I think we're tired of sending, folks. No, not really. Not really. I want you to know how much we appreciate all of you today. And visitors, thank you for being here today. God bless you guys. I hope y'all come back. If you didn't fill out a connection card, please do that. I'd like to at least call you and talk to you a little bit and just let you know how important it was to have you in the house today. You guys just look so happy. You look so wonderful. Everybody that's happy, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hand. Amen. We love you guys today. Thank you, Bobby and Amy. And this is Taylor right here. He's going to be coming back every now and then to play drums because we're going to make him come back every now and then to play drums. Robbie is being shipped out at the end of January. He's in the guard. And we don't know where he's going to wind up, but he'll go somewhere for a year. That's their oldest son. And Randa and Austin are back in Columbus. So I want you to pray for all these guys. Randa, Austin, Taylor, and Robbie. Continue to pray for them. Would you do that? Amen. God bless you. We're going to stay. Get to your small group or your life group. Five of them are meeting here. Two are meeting elsewhere. So make sure you get there. Take some food. Enjoy your day. Amen. God bless you. No service tonight, but we are doing life groups this afternoon. Oh, there he is. Have you been there all the time?
Just
yeah. All right. Probably still on.